So this is lecture number one from chapter 23. I call it A Fresh View of Evolution, the Modern Synthesis. So what Darwin didn't know, this is kind of interesting. Darwin was a brilliant and hardworking scientist, but he didn't know something that all of you know quite well. And what is that something? Yes. Genetics, you got it. The biological basis of inheritance, otherwise known as genetics. So he published his Origin of Species in 1859, and what's rather interesting is that Gregor Mendel published the results of his famous P experiments just a few years later in 1866. And if Darwin had simply read Mendel's paper, he would have solve one of the most important questions of his day, how traits are passed on from generation to generation. And if he had done that, he would have been able to strengthen his arguments in his magnum opus, The Origin of Species. But he wasn't, and so that was a weakness of his book. And it's kind of amazing if you think these guys were really contemporaries of one another. The problem is Mendel lived in what is now the Czech Republic, kind of Central Europe, and his results of this P experiment were published in this obscure little journal, like this little natural history society, and so nobody read it. And you know, I've heard that Darwin actually had a copy of it in his library, but that might just be not true, I don't know, and that he just never opened it, so I don't know if that's true or not. But the bottom line is, nobody really read Mendel's paper, and as a result, Mendel's paper was not noticed or appreciated during his lifetime. And so, very much like Vincent van Gogh, he died without ever being recognized for his brilliance. I mean, if you think about this, I mean, these are two guys from the 1800s, and if they were to fast forward to today and look at how famous they've become after, you know, after they died, it would probably blow their minds. I mean, you know, here's Van Gogh. I think, if I'm correct, that he only sold one painting in his lifetime, and now his paintings are some of the most sought after in the world. I mean, you can get, you know, tens of millions of dollars for Van Gogh paintings, and of course, Mendel's recognized as one of the greatest scientists who ever lived. So, I mean, isn't that amazing? Someone could live their whole life and die and never realize how brilliant they would become. And so it was 35 years after he published his paper that it was finally rediscovered by three different researchers in 1900. And after that, the science of genetics really took off. So between 1900 and 1930, the basic principles of genetics were established, particularly with respect to populations of organisms. And in fact, this whole field of what is now known as population genetics emerged. And two individuals became famous for doing theoretical mathematical work modeling populations. Their names are Hardy and Weinberg. One of them, Hardy, was a British guy, and Weinberg was German. And if what I have heard is correct, they actually never knew one another. They published independently kind of the same ideas, but now we know their work as the Hardy-Weinberg equilibrium, which we'll talk about later this week. And it's their work, along with others, that really provided this important link between evolutionary theory and genetics. And as a result, a new paradigm emerged. And this paradigm was given a name. It's called the modern synthesis or Neo-Darwinism. And so you can see in different books, it's called, you know, differently. Sometimes it's called the modern synthesis. Sometimes it's called Neo-Darwinism. Sometimes you see both words. But I just want you to know either one of these terms refers to what I'm going to talk about. And what this is it was really established in the 1940s, so during World War II, and this is 80 years after they both published their work. You know, Darwin had published his theory of evolution by means of natural selection, and Mendel had published his theory of genetics as the biological basis of inheritance, and this new paradigm emerges 80 years later where they kind of link the two together. And what's exciting about this is that essentially, I don't know if you remember, but I mentioned this several days ago, and I think it was my first lecture, that Darwin, when he published Origin of Species, he convinced the scientific world and some people in the general public that evolution really occurred. In other words, that there has been descent with modification through time of biological life, right? But what he didn't convince people of was the mechanism. And, his mechanism was natural selection. But people didn't necessarily buy into natural selection, but they did buy into the idea that evolution probably occurred. So it wasn't until 80 years later that the idea that natural selection is the mechanism of evolution really became firmly established in the scientific community. And that was really the result of this work in the early part of the 20th century, kind of linking Mendel's genetics work and what was discovered about genetics in the early part of the 20th century and sort of linking it together with evolution, natural selection that Darwin had come up with. And one of the architects of the modern synthesis expressed the confidence that biologists had as a result of this paradigm shift. And I'm going to read the quote for you. Quote, "Nothing in biology makes sense except in the light of evolution." And the guy who said this, or actually wrote this originally, his name is Theodosius Dobzhansky. He's a Russian immigré to the United States, and he did his work at Columbia University in the early part of the 20th century. And he's really the guy who sort of encapsulated how people felt by mid-century. And this quote is, you see this in lots of biology books, you see it on websites. It's probably one of the most famous quotes in biology from the 20th century. And by the way, it's the reason I start my course with evolution. Because I think that if you want to really understand biology, you really need to understand evolution. And we're going to continually come back to the subject of evolution throughout the course. And so I want to establish what evolution is, how it works, so that I can come back and refer to it time and time again throughout this course. Well, it turns out that evolution was given a new definition as a result of the modern synthesis that linked Darwinian natural selection with population genetics. And the way we look at evolution now is we don't think of it as acting on individuals, but we think of it as acting on populations of organisms. And what happens is evolution actually alters the allele frequencies of these populations. And so I'm going to give you a new definition, a very succinct definition of evolution, and here it is. And this may blow some of you away. It may just sort of, you may think, huh? But here's how we think of evolution. It is simply a change in allele frequencies of a population. It's that simple. That's what the modern synthesis came up with. And we're actually going to do a lab later this week that will show how this works. Okay? Now, this new definition of evolution led to some new language. And so I'm going to just discuss this language. And what sort of came out of this was the idea of macroevolution and what's called microevolution. I want to kind of tease these apart. When we talk about macroevolution, we're talking about a change from one species into another species. This is what Darwin meant when he talked about origin of species. And a great example of this is really Darwin's example. One original finch from South America ends up in the Galapagos Islands and evolves to become 13 different species of finch, which cannot interbreed, so therefore they're distinct and different species in the Galapagos Islands. That's macroevolution. Microevolution is simply a change within a species. And so this would be the origin of breeds or varieties. And the great example of microevolution would be, imagine one original dog evolves to become hundreds of different breeds of dogs. This is actually the result of what we call artificial selection by man, by humans, okay? And they're all the same, they're still the same species, and theoretically they can interbreed with one another, but they're quite a bit different from one another, so there's been some change within the population to give all these different varieties. But you haven't really created a new species. A Chihuahua and a Great Dane are still a dog, okay? So the current understanding for those that accept the modern synthesis is that microevolution is change within a species given enough time, thanks to James Hutton from yesterday's lecture. Remember, James Hutton was the father of geology, the man who gave us what we call deep time, the idea that the Earth is much older than 6,000 years. Thanks to James Hutton and microevolution, this will lead to macroevolution, the origin of species. So all you need is microevolution, you need enough time, and you get macroevolution, the origin of new species. Okay, so that finishes the first lecture from chapter 23.